All right, people. We need to come up with something we say, Dylan.
I know. We need like a little catchphrase, a little intro slogan thing.
Hello, you beautiful SEO people.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know. We got to come up with something. Guys, help us. Help us. If you're listening to this, it's hard because I'm always thinking like YouTube. Like, leave a comment. But this might be on YouTube for now, but it's supposed to be a podcast. Yeah. How do you do that with podcasts?
Can you just say subscribe on all the apps? But we're not on any of those yet.
Do you tell them to like go leave a comment on Instagram or?
I mean, everybody's always like, subscribe and rate us in iTunes. Give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it.
Yeah, but like as far as getting interaction from people, where's the
actual live interaction?
Or not even live, just like if we want to ask a question and we want to get people's feedback, we don't want them to give us that in a review. We probably want to have them go on Instagram.
Yeah, totally. Fuel your photos.
Instagram or Facebook group or Anyway. Just spitball in there. Okay, so today we're gonna try something a little bit different. We recorded one episode that was a Q&A episode, and today we're gonna do something a little bit different. I'm saying today. We're both recording these back to back, so it's the same day. This time we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're gonna just kind of talk about a topic and see where it goes. So I'm gonna basically put Dylan on the spot and act like I'm interviewing him for this. And then we'll just kind of riff on it from there. But basically, let's just say theoretically that you have a site that has already covered all of the SEO basics. Let's say you've got your indexation managed. There's no crap pages being indexed. It's all what you want. Everything's getting some clicks or a lot of impressions or something like that. You've got titles and meta descriptions nailed. You've honed in on it and like tuned them for the best click-through rate. You're watching in Search Console. You know what's going on there. Your site speed is excellent, you know, loading in 2 seconds or less, let's say. You know, just in general, all of your off page is at least set up. Let's say you've got Google My Business perfectly set up. You've got some citations. You've got your social profiles all set up and you have the right website listed on them. Just all of the things that we would typically like. If you took our 22 actions ebook and you read through that and you said, I have done all of these 100% perfectly, what would you say is the next thing you would do to try to improve your site to get more traffic from search, from Google especially?
Totally. I think that no matter what, like I was trying to think of situations where this wouldn't be true, but in almost every case for a photographer, my next step is going to be a content strategy for the next 6 to 12 months. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be a mix of that. And then I feel like the overwhelming number one force multiplier that most people do not spend enough time on or put enough effort into is backlinks. And so I think it's going to be like, that's what's really going to separate you from a good mid-tier strong site, which honestly, if you did everything in the ebook and your site was in that position that you outlined in the intro, you're ahead of 98-99% of people. So like you're crushing it.
So here's an SEO strategy for you, an advanced SEO strategy. It's called patience.
Yeah. I mean, it's true.
Wait. Yeah. Wait a while.
Go do something else for 6 months.
It's so hard, though. It's hard to sit there and wait whenever you're not sure if you did it right.
Yeah.
But we're assuming, like, from this framing of the question, if someone's pretty sure that they got all of that right, they probably at least kind of have a good idea of what they're doing. And they're pretty confident they got it right.
For sure.
But waiting could still be a big thing. 9 to 12 months could even be, you know, not unreasonable to wait.
And I've been there. When I last rebranded my site and migrated to a new domain, I was in a fairly new market for myself. I did the work on my site. I was like, this should do it. And it honestly took me waiting, I think it was 6 to 9 months, to see that first page position that I knew that I deserved. but it that was a waiting game. I could have been more proactive during that time and actually taken my own advice and been and like pushed out content that was actually valuable to users. I was doing some a little bit, but it wasn't like I also could have really, like, if you're waiting, why not build backlinks? Like if you know that the on page is great, you know that the technical is awesome, you have some good content up, I think that's just the thing that I would be like, that's the thing that pushes most people over the edge.
So I'm hearing you say that number one, it's going to be a content strategy, and number two, it's going to be backlinks. Yeah. So let's do this. Let's kind of go through the rest of this episode and talk about those two things. Plus, I'm going to throw a curveball here. Nice. If you can think of anything, I would love to hear any like advanced strategies that the person who has done these basic SEO things probably hasn't tried or doesn't know about. If you can think of any as we're talking, let's save those for the end. We may not come up with any. I have a couple of that like, might be in mind. We'll see. Cool. But let's start with content strategy. So let's just say that you're developing a content strategy for a site like what we talked about before. Where are you going to start?
Yeah. First thing I do, I want to do some research on who the competitors are, and these might be other photographers, but typically your photographers that you're competing against don't have a huge number of articles or posts or pages on their site that are performing really well. So it's probably going to be like more of like a like wedding blogs, news sites. There's like some photography affiliate kind of sites that put out some good content. I'm going to try to really look at like for their like potential clients, what topics are they going to be researching throughout their potential booking process where we can provide value. And I want to see what competitors are providing that content, what's driving them traffic, what's working for them, and kind of try to like pick the best of those topics and articles from a selection of different competitors and then throw those into a big list, prioritize them, start writing.
Okay, so let's back up for a second. Tell us what tools would you be using for finding that information? If you want to know what's working for your competitors, how are you going to find that information?
Yeah, so there are a few free tools. One is UberSuggest, and that's going to tell you, is it the top 5 pages or is it top 10 pages for each competitor? Something like that.
I don't know. It was unlimited as much as they had, but I just heard today that they introduced a paid model. So I don't know where they're cutting it off for free now. I knew it was coming.
Yeah, but it had to come.
Yeah.
But I think they're $100 per year. So it's not
something like
outrageously expensive for a photography business to be able to afford. There are also tools that are paid like SEMrush, which I really like right now. Ahrefs, which has been my go-to in the past. And those you're able to put in your competitors' websites, see which pages are working out best. You can also put in topics in both of those tools. Like I could just type in wedding photography and I could see which like news articles or pieces of content are performing best on social and in search for those topics and just get really good topic ideas. We also talk a lot in our blogging course about techniques like looking at the covers of wedding magazines. You're not going to know for sure that those are performing well, but the publishers of those wedding magazines are pretty good at writing those titles and they're pretty smart about knowing what's going to work. So it's great, like just free ideas.
And just doing a Google search. I mean,
yeah,
if you just ranking. Think of topics that you think would be relevant to your audience and just go and do a Google search, see who's ranking, explore that site some more, do a site colon search. So if you go to Google and type in site colon and then put a domain, no space after the colon, it'll show you all the pages indexed, but then you could put another space after the domain and then put a topic. It'll show you all of the topics that are indexed. I know this is like on a podcast format, it's hard to explain some of that stuff. Eventually, hopefully we'll have like show notes or something. And totally. An example. Yeah, but anyway, the point is do some intuitive Google searching, learn how to be a better searcher on Google, and you don't even necessarily need the tools. You could do it for free just by kind of figuring out who's ranking for what.
Yeah. And honestly, like the keywords everywhere, Chrome extension, Google tells you so much, both by what they show in the search results, like you were saying, but also like just related terms. Like you can mine that information and it's just pure gold. So you might type in wedding photography in Oregon and it might tell you that like elopement venues is a related term, and that might tell you that like cheap wedding dresses is a related term or something. Those are huge. So like Google's pretty much telling you people that looked at this topic were interested in this or should be interested in this, and you should put out that content.
Okay, so let's say that you've gone and done that research now, and you've come up with a long list of like potential topics. How are you going to narrow that down to actually turn it into somewhat of a content calendar or a plan for what's going to help you the most?
For sure. So I like to front load that with I like to see if there's like a small handful, maybe one to three articles that are going to be my main cornerstone articles that I think are going to be the top pages on my site for organic traffic. Like they have the most search volume or potential, and they're going to be larger topics that are more encompassing, where I can link from that big cornerstone post to 10 or 15 smaller supporting articles eventually. And so I want to get those up first because it might take them 6 months to really be at the top of the rankings for all of those terms, and I want to get that process started. And through building out that topic, I'm probably also going to learn a lot more about the competition and the supporting topics, and you just do so much research. So I get those up first, and then I start working on like every few weeks trying to get out like one smaller, maybe it's like 500 words, maybe it's 300 words, maybe it's 1,000 words, these smaller posts that are supporting topics that they might have decent search volume, but it's probably like 100 or 200 searches per month, and they probably have lower competition. So it's going to be something where potentially you could write the post, publish it, and be ranking on the first page that week or something. Like it's not going to be a long process for those rankings. Like I said earlier, you can link from your cornerstone articles. You can also link to those cornerstone articles from these new posts. So that's pretty much how I structure my content
Yeah, I think that's
strategy.
really good. I'll add one more thing in there. I think it's a good idea to think about this from the perspective of traffic, but also from the perspective of local relevance. So I would look at this topic list and see, I want to make sure there's a good mix of topics that can drive traffic and attract links, things like that. But also, I want to try to add some local relevance by covering topics that are close to me. So if I'm a, actually, let's all do wedding photographer. Let's say I'm a newborn photographer in Portland.
Sure.
Well, I might want to cover things like prenatal massage or yoga for moms or best daycares or things like this, because all of those can be very local to Portland. So I could say, you know, the three best places to do maternity yoga, whatever that's called, in Portland. And that would be something that adds relevance to my site topically. It makes sense because if I'm a maternity photographer or a newborn photographer, I'm talking about maternity. I'm talking about when you're pregnant. Those words are all going to be relevant, but also it's something where I'm mentioning entities that are in Portland. And whenever Google finds that information and starts ranking it for these entities in Portland, our relationship on the knowledge graph is going to become tighter. So essentially, Google is going to say, hey, this entity, whatever the photography company is probably very related to these companies that are in Portland and therefore is related to Portland. And so it just really helps build that kind of topical relevance and location relevance. So, yeah, exactly what you said. I love the way that you talked about, you know, hit heavy hitters first, looking for the opportunities where there may be high volume and low competition first, especially. And then get those big heavy hitters and then add in those like consistent small punches. I think that's a really good strategy. All right, so you've got a strategy there. While we're still talking about content strategy, what do you think is kind of a reasonable published schedule? How often would you be publishing on a site like this?
Yeah, totally. I mean, the number one factor is you don't want to burn out. This is the long game. I want to make sure that you're able to consistently publish at this schedule for like a year or something. I think that you're not going to see the best results if you publish these like four or five articles and then you're burnt out and don't want to write and you just give up. And it's not about the actual consistency for Google, but I want you to be like engaged with your content strategy. And if you start building a following on social media and through like blog readers and stuff like that, or your newsletter, people also are going to reward you for that consistency. In general, my biggest thing is post as often as you can actually write and create quality content over everything else. If you're forcing yourself to write something every Monday morning at 8 and you start writing your article at Sunday night at 10 p.m., it's probably not going to be well researched. It's probably not going to include any like notable people's quotes and link to their sites and get either backlinks or shares in return for your site. It's probably not going to like provide a ton of value to the reader. So
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So basically you're saying as frequently as you can put out high quality content, it's going to be different depending on people's schedules. Yeah. I think if you're really gunning for, you know, I want to make this the best year ever and I'm pushing this and I've already done all this SEO and I still need more results, I think probably you're thinking on this like weekly publishing, maybe even twice a week. Yeah. If you're like, you know, I've got a good amount of bookings and I just want to maintain this and kind of keep this moving so that it's more and more passive for me and I can be more and more selective. If you're in that position, probably monthly posting is totally fine.
Totally. Yeah. Bimonthly, whatever.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Or just like
once every quarter.
Exactly. Which I've done quite a few times in my career. I've gone 6 months without posting, but quite often I'll go in and look at an older piece of content, make sure it's up to date, update it, maybe reshare it on social, and do some work like that. So
I really like what you said a minute ago about being engaged with your content strategy. I think that's how you said it. And yeah. Basically, I think the act of doing this frequently allows you to be more in tune and aware of what is working, what else needs to be done. And just like, I think that is going to build momentum. So yeah, I really like that. All right, let's move on. We've talked about content. So the idea here is right now, if you've got a great site, you can almost never have enough great content. So first thing, even though it's not an advanced step, it is kind of a how to take things to the next level step, is build more content. Now, link building can be a little bit more advanced. In fact, I would say it's pretty advanced, even though theoretically it's all just networking and being intentional about creating something that someone would want to talk about. Making remarkable content and networking is those are like the pillars of natural link building. But let's just say you need to be really intentional. Like, you're not going to just let this happen naturally. You already got a content schedule. That's happening by itself. What are the extra steps that you would take to get more links?
Yeah. I mean, I think step number one is probably going to be thinking about who you can reach out to, who you've already built relationships with, that would, like, what you could offer them for a link in return. And that might be as easy as saying, like, hey, you were this officiant at a wedding I shot. I gave you some great photos. Do you mind linking to my website? And they'll just be like, oh yeah, cool. I'll do that. It might be that you have to guest blog for somebody and create a piece of content for them and put in a lot of work. But it might pay off. Like, you'll get a backlink from a high authority site. It could be that you do a search for your brand name and make sure that you don't include the URL in results. So in Google, you can do like a search for Dylan M. Howell Photography and then the minus sign. And then is it in quotations? I can't remember.
I can't remember if you put quotes or not.
Yeah, but then minus colon. In URL, gosh, I'm trying to remember this. Or is it just minus in URL colon and then dylanmhowell.com?
Yeah, look up search operators and then just look for the in URL search operator, and there will be something on there that will tell you how to use that.
Yeah, and so I think we've mentioned this before, and it came up in our Facebook group recently, but you do the search operator and it tells you anytime your brand has been mentioned without the person actually linking to your site. And so that's an easy list. Of people that you can just reach out for and be like, hey, like, do you mind linking to my site? You mentioned me here.
Yeah, the person who posted it in our members group recently said that they were able to pick up like 2 or 3 backlinks just in one day from trying that.
And if most photography sites have 50-ish referring domains, like that's your 6% increase that day.
Yep.
Which is awesome. Yeah, just that's huge. Do that 7 more times and you've doubled the amount of backlinks to your site. So
before you go into any other tactics,
yeah,
back up for a second to guest posting.
Sure.
So do you have any specific examples of guest posts that you've written?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some. Most of mine have been SEO related, where it's like I provide an article that says like, here are the top 10 things to look out for SEO for 2019 or whatever. Mm-hmm.
By the way, yeah, that's totally fine too. If you are a photographer who has some expertise on gear, anything. On anything photography related, like reaching out to photography industry websites to offer to write to other photographers is a great strategy.
For sure. Or like if you're a wedding photographer, think about the value you can provide for makeup artists, officiants, wedding planners, wedding dress companies, like any, especially local, like these people are all looking for content. They all have neglected blogs. They would appreciate anything. So it's pretty yep. much like how much time you want to put into pitching and creating this content, you will get results.
Yeah, for example, there's a venue that I'm thinking of in Colombia that I know they have a blog. Mm-hmm. I think maybe they posted to it like 4 or 5 times. I know the people personally who manage their blog. Yep. And if I went to them and I said, hey, I'm going to write a post that's like 4 examples of different ceremony setups at your venue, would you post it on your blog and, you know, link to me from it? They would absolutely eat that up. They would totally do it.
No question.
In a heartbeat. Cool. Okay, so we've got guest posting. We've got the in-URL idea. You said one other that I don't remember off the top of my head right now. But is there anything else? Do you feel like buying links is a strategy that any photographer should think about?
Yeah, it's hard. Kind of. Like, there, I would say that it's overwhelming, like the number of links that exist to be purchased that are spam is like probably 99.999%. Right. The majority of the non-spam links are probably from hacked sites. I'm just trying to think of like outside of hiring like pretty much a PR agency to do actual manual real outreach, the chances that you're buying a link and it's a quality link that's going to help your rankings that's not from a hacked site are so low. Yeah. And I've looked into the pricing for actually having people do like real manual outreach, and I don't think any wedding photographers can really afford it.
Not for long, at least.
No.
We're talking, you know, let's say $1,000 per month gets you 3 links or something along those lines.
That's maybe. Pretty much what I found was that the average cost is going to be $500 per actual place link.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a benefit for the cost. So
it's not a sustainable model for sure. Yeah. If you had, like, if you're just bleeding money and like really wanted to get your SEO fixed and you could afford it, I could see like adding something along those lines to the like overall part of your strategy. Like maybe if you could get the right ones, 5 or 6 links like that in conjunction with some of the other stuff that you're doing, maybe.
For sure.
Desperate move.
It is. I mean, at that point, I'd rather pay off a writer that works for a photography blog or something. Like,
exactly.
Because those guys take kickbacks all the time.
Which does, you just said that so passively, but like I think a lot of people don't realize that there are so many sites where you could ask for a link and they'll say, okay, if you pay me.
Sure.
And it could range from, usually it ranges from about $50, and it could go up as high as $5,000 or more, but typically it's $50 to $500 is what people are going to ask for a single link placement.
Exactly. Yeah.
And those $50 ones, that could be legit. Like I'm talking about, you know, you talk to there's a blogger in your city who just works their heart out to like blog. Maybe it's a fashion or travel or just like family blog or something like that. They're posting 2 or 3 times a week. They're happy to give you a link for $50. Like that could totally be worth it if it gets a lot of traffic.
For sure. I'd much rather do that than spending your money on Fiverr or somewhere else. Or any.
Yeah, definitely don't do that.
Yeah.
Definitely no.
Just
okay, so two more in my mind. Yeah. I'll kind of just throw them out there for you to talk about. One, getting featured, kind of the big no-brainer.
The go-to. I think that getting featured is like the thing that everybody knows but doesn't put in the time or effort. And really, like with tools like Two Bright Lights, and I know they have a competitor, I always forget its name.
Owl Society, maybe?
Yeah, just
it's something from them
for sure. Just don't. Yeah, like I feel like most people look at them like, if I'm not on Style Me Pretty or Green Wedding Shoes, it's not worth it. But getting featured on these lower authority, smaller wedding blogs, that it's not like they take everything, but they're much less picky with who they accept, is still going to be a beneficial backlink to your site. And one of Two Bright Lights' awesome new features is that they have a photo pool where sites like The Knot or I think it's like weddings.com will just grab individual single photos to use in articles and provide you with the backlink. You don't have to do any, like, there's no getting a questionnaire filled out by a couple and going through the whole process of formatting and doing everything with your images. It's just like you add your photos to this pool, you get backlinks in return.
Yep.
Yeah.
So basically working those things into your workflow, I think is, I mean, that in and of itself, that's a next level technique, is making sure that everything you do gets added into a workflow that allows you to get featured more often. You want to increase the probability. There's going to be quite a few different ways, like Dylan mentioned, Two Bright Lights and the other alternative. Also, there are like 8,000 different hashtags that you can use that will potentially let your photo get picked to get included in roundups. There's a lot of different ways to get featured. Giving photos like intentionally to, let's say you go to an event in your city, maybe it's not even like you're not covering it professionally, but then you send those photos to the event organizers or the person who runs the website or someone who's reporting on that event and say, hey, I'm happy to use this, just please credit me with a link. Yep. Those kinds of things, you can get links that way just by being featured or credited. The last one that I think we could talk about now is, this is a little bit different, and it's more of a way of thinking about the right kind of content to attract links. I think that there are certain types of content that are much more likely to naturally attract links. One of them is unique research.
Yeah.
So if you can put together some sort of very in-depth, detailed, unique research that other people would cite as a source, for example, let's say you're a wedding photographer and you do a in-depth write-up with charts and an infographic about the average cost of a wedding in your city. A lot of people would share that. News sites would share that. Wedding planners would share that. Like, you know, just make it so it's really shareable. You're not necessarily trying to take too much credit for it. You're like putting this together and making something really useful and making an infographic someone could take and embed even and link back to you. Like there's a lot of things like that. So unique research is a good one. Anything in the photography space, anything that is funny, very controversial or interesting can help you have the chance of like going viral. These things like a building burned down at this wedding, or a bear showed up in the background while we were taking couples portraits, or whatever. And I've seen people do personal projects. You know, I did a self-portrait for 100 days in a row. This is what it turned out, how it turned out. People like sites like BuzzFeed, Board Panda, those sites. Totally. If you could find something that they would pick up, that's gold. For that sure. is like brand long-term gold right exactly. there.
I mean, I'm thinking back to my first early years as a photographer, and I'm thinking to the techniques that I thought about and actually used. One of them was that I realized that Fearless had their at some point in time, the results from their competitions were typically picked up by large news organizations. And like, I think it was like MSN or somebody would do a slideshow, top 50 wedding photos of the year or something. So I was like, I'm going to become a Fearless member and I'm going to submit to that because I want that link. And it happened. That's awesome. Similar with Junebug's wedding photo of the year competition. So using those competitions purely as a link building scheme worked. I did photos for local food trucks because I realized that those are startups with no budget that will gladly link to your website from their crappy Wix site if you yep. give them awesome photos. But that those are local links, and all it takes is doing a 5 or 10 minute photo shoot. You probably get free food, free lunch for the day, and 15 minutes of editing, send them a gallery, you're done, you got a backlink. I did similar to, like you were saying, like events that I wasn't paid to be a photographer at. I would just act like I was a photojournalist, kind of, take photos, have a gallery, yep. and send that out to people and ask for credit. I still do that to this day with like some cycling events. And it's mostly because I want to be there and I want to document, but like I get backlinks from them. So like
right.
just getting in that mindset of you have tools as a photographer, you it's so easy for you to provide immense value through your craft. Just leverage it to get backlinks. The backlinks yep. will help you out so much for the entire lifetime of your career.
Yep. Love it. Cool. All right. Let's move on. I want to wrap this up pretty soon here.
Cool.
So we've talked about content strategy. We've talked about backlinks. And now I want to see if you've got any insight on advanced tactics. So things that are go beyond the typical basics of SEO. Does anything pop into your mind? I wrote down two things as we were talking that I wanted to come to, but let me see what you come up with.
Off the top of my head, I think the first thing I would think about would be finding niches or specialties with no competition that might be trending, and then creating either specific websites for that or like different parts of your site or landing pages for them. I do like the idea of like finding the things that are going viral and taking advantage of that moment in time where they're extremely popular.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm gonna softball one to you because this is like your wheelhouse right here. Featured snippets and people also ask.
Yeah, huge. So I mean, chasing featured snippets is a really fun game because it's like one of the easier ways you can get to the top of Google results with a little bit of work, but it's mostly just like getting your content onto the first page, which is much easier than getting into position one, and then formatting it in a way that you think will either take over a featured snippet or make one populate. Generally, that's like just thinking like how to best display this, the answer to these questions. Is it question and answer type? Is it like an FAQ? Is it like a bulleted list, a numbered list, a table?
And studying the featured snippets that are currently appearing in topics that are similar should give you some really good ideas on exactly how to format the content that you're targeting, that you're using to target that featured snippet. It's going to be different for different, like you say, you just named a bunch of different types of feature snippets. This is something you really need to study and learn right now. It is huge. It is such a big deal in the SEO landscape of 2020. I don't know if it will stay that way in the future, but all indications are yes, and maybe it's even
get trending that way.
Crazy. Yeah,
for sure.
But the idea is Google is rewarding sites that understand the intent and answer it very clearly with the right kind of formatting. And it could be as simple as putting a question and then writing a two sentence answer under it. That can win featured snippets. It could be more complex, like a numbered list, or something that has a table or some other type of markup. Yeah. So it's pretty advanced. We probably think of it as basic right now because it's becoming so normal, but I think for a lot of people, that's still kind of an advanced step.
For sure.
Then the other thing that came into mind was schema.
Okay. Yeah.
Like FAQ schema. Testing that. Have you come up with anything, any answers yet?
You know, I think I started off my test with a failure. I need to triple check this, so I added FAQ schema to my homepage. I might have overlooked the fact that I don't think they ever show FAQ schema from home pages. They only do internal pages, possibly. I need to double check that like after this call, but FAQ schema currently is almost always populated if you just add it to your page.
Yeah, we need to try that on like the SEO guide and some other pages like that. So if you have informational content lists, things like that that could have frequently asked questions. So going back to an example I mentioned earlier in the episode, basically, let's say there's maternity yoga is a topic that you're covering. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a series of FAQs that people ask. I mean, you could even like call these yoga studios and be like, what are some of the common questions that people have about, you know, if they're pregnant, can they come? So, you know, what time is safe to, or what months are safe to do yoga when you're pregnant? Like, that's a FAQ. And they come and look at the people also ask for, like, some of the whatever, and that's going to give you a list of frequently asked questions.
Yeah.
Answer those, add the FAQ schema, and then theoretically that snippet could get the expanded feature, and it's like way bigger than a meta description, and yeah, maybe stands out. We don't know yet, like, what the click-through rate is testing, like, on them, but
yeah,
that's an advanced tactic.
I had one last tactic that I think is the sleeper in SEO, and that's YouTube. And so,
speaking my language,
exactly. So not only using this for content ideas for your blog, because I mean, you can see what content are people really vibing with on YouTube, like what's going viral there that could be just translated into text form and put into a blog post. That's awesome. Or which content can you start creating for YouTube to then embed on your site, or just build an audience also on YouTube that's sending you traffic. So
yeah,
I think that photographers in general are sleeping on it, even at the highest levels. Like, we're just now starting to see some of the bigger influencers in photography start to dedicate a little bit of time to YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah, that's huge.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we covered quite a bit here, and I feel like if you're doing all of these things, that should keep you busy. Like, if you feel like your site is perfectly optimized, you already have amazing content and couldn't really add much more to it, you've actively built backlinks and have an awesome backlink profile, you're winning featured snippets consistently, we need to talk to you, because, like, maybe we could hire you, or I don't know, like, we want to know who you are. If you're that person, reach out to us in the undecided way that we'll have you reach out to us, which will probably be Facebook group or Instagram or totally, something. Yeah. Leave us a review. Wait, this isn't a podcast yet. Okay, guys, we're going to go ahead and end this here. And I hope you like this. We had fun, I think. Yeah. Did you have fun?
Yeah, totally. It was great.
So we'll, if people love this, we'll bring it back. We'll keep doing this some more, turn it into a real podcast. So let us know your feedback, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Talk soon. See you.